From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
You're listening to the Thunder Rumblings podcast. I'm Darnell Mayberry here with Jason Kersey. We're talking all things Thunder and NBA. Jason, the draft last Thursday, they came away with Cole Aldrich, Morris Peterson, Daquan Cook, and a bunch of second rounders who people probably never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of the draft?
I thought it was very impressive how they were able to get up and get a good big man like Cole Aldrich that was originally not supposed to be there for the Thunder. Just another example, I think, of Sam Presti really doing a great job. He hasn't made any big mistakes yet, and so I think for now it seems like it's going great. Now, I would honestly say Daquan Cook is the biggest get for the Thunder, in my opinion.
You think so?
Yes, because three-point shooting is really what they lacked last year.
I don't think he's going to play.
You don't think so?
I don't think he's going to play. I mean, he's got to play over Tabo Sefolosha. He's got to play over James Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Mo Peterson coming in here. If he gets, if he stays on the roster and Presti doesn't buy him out or try to waive him, which I think he's going to be on the roster, that's three guys that he's got to play ahead of in the backcourt. And I just don't see any minutes for Daquan Cook.
Yeah.
Now, I like him. I mean, he's what, 21, 22 years old,
yeah,
something like that, going into his fourth year. So he's still young. He's got some talent. He won a 3-point shooting contest,
mm-hmm,
out in Phoenix at All Star Weekend 2 years ago. So he's got some potential, but I just wonder if he's going to play.
Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think Cole Aldrich is going to play all that much
definitely
this year?
Definitely.
Okay.
Yes.
Over. Well, of course, Nenad Krstić. Okay.
Yeah.
You think he's on his way out?
Yeah. Soon. he's got one more year on his deal. I think he's going to, you know, I think they're going to try to get the most out of him this year. And at the end of, toward the end of the season, I think if they're not in a playoff run, I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, but if they're not, you know, if Cole Aldrich, I think it has more to do with Cole Aldrich's development. If he's showing signs, I think he could be the starter by the end of the year.
Really?
I think so. I mean, they drafted this guy to be their starting center for the future.
Mm-hmm.
Nenad Krstić is getting older. He's becoming more, he's coming slower, losing a step by the year. So I think Cole Aldrich does exactly what they need him to do in terms of defense, blocking shots, rebounding, that sort of thing. So to me, he's a better fit. He's younger. He's more athletic than Nenad. And Nenad only has the 1 year on his contract. So, you know, why play him a ton if he's not going to be around next year, the following year?
See, I'd always thought that Serge Ibaka was kind of the center of the future they were getting
always
ready for.
People,
you don't think so?
Compare, list him as a center. I don't see him as a center. I see him as a power forward. He can guard some centers. He can play the center position offensively, I think, in spurts. But, you know, I don't think he can do it consistently for 35 minutes a game, 38
mm-hmm
minutes a game. I think, you know, Cole Aldrich is probably better suited to do that for 35 minutes a game down the line.
I see. All right. Well, see, the reason I say Daquan Cook, like I said, they were, what, 25th in the league in three-point shooting last year, but third in rebounding? That seemed like a bigger need. And that's kind of what they got James Harden last year for, isn't it?
Right. And he shot pretty decent from three. People fail to realize that he was like a 34, 35% shooter from three-point range. And, you know, he was a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so imagine what he's going to do when he gets more comfortable. The thing about James Harden, to me, is that the guy had to adjust and adapt from being the guy at Arizona State to the fourth option, maybe with the Thunder, behind Russell, behind Kevin Durant, behind Jeff Green. So, and in some ways, behind Nenad. So, at best, the fourth option. And he still pretty much excelled at his role for much of the season. So, when he gets another year's experience, now that he's been through the league once, I think he's going to only get better. And we're going to see that three-point percentage rise. We're going to see his decision-making get better. And we're just going to see a different player, I think, sort of like we saw from Russell Westbrook in year one to year two.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see Tabo Sefolosha being the starter at the two all year next year?
That's going to be a tough one. I'm interested in seeing what Scott Brooks does with that one, because Tabo Sefolosha brings them that defensive identity. You know, he helps with their defensive philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have scorers in Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and Jeff Green on the court as starters. Nenad Krstić even gives you some scoring options. But then Thabo gives you that defensive look that James Harden doesn't give you just yet. So it's going to be an interesting move by Scott Brooks to see what he does with James Harden, because he's not quite the defender yet. And you don't want to start your best five offensive players, because then you don't have any scoring punch off the bench. So I think with Eric Maynor, James Harden, Morris Peterson, Daquan Cook, you know, those kind of guys. Serge Ibaka even showed some offensive flashes last year. You got some scoring off the bench, and I think that's helpful for any good team, good playoff team in the league.
All right. Well, you want to move into free agency now? Talk a little bit about, do you think the Thunder's going to make any moves?
No. No, I don't.
Some fans might be disappointed to hear that.
Well, we've been saying the same thing for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team is a team that's being built to grow together, for sustained success. They're sticking to the process. You know, all those...
The Presti plan.
The Presti plan, the key Presti buzzwords. You know, I think we just need to start paying attention to them. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not going to go out and get, you know, an Al Jefferson via trade. They're not going to go out and get a big-name free agent like a LeBron or a Chris Bosh, who everybody seems to... A lot of people seem to feel would be a fit here. Even I thought that at first, but then... just looking at this team, someone put it well to me the other day, and I'll say it here. It's the best I've heard it. Everyone says that they need this low post score. If they get this low post score, how many times are you realistically going to be able to throw them the ball?
Yeah.
I mean, you got Kevin Durant, you got Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. you got James Harden, you've got Nenad, you brought in some 3-point shooters in Daquan Cook and Mo Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of firepower offensively. So if you get a Chris Bosh or, you know, another low post player, an Amari Stoudemire or whoever, they can't afford those guys anymore now after the draft moves. But mm-hmm. hypothetically, if you get those guys or a guy like that, you're going to have a malcontent because he's going to want the ball and they're not going to be able to get him the ball. I mean, yep. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's exactly right, I think.
I don't know. I mean, people, I think, should lower their expectations a little bit because...
Chris Bosh wouldn't get his numbers in Oklahoma City.
Right. No Chris way. Bosh wouldn't get his touches. He wouldn't get his numbers. He'd get his feelings hurt. That's about the only thing he'd do, because he wouldn't be the man on this team. And that's the other thing. You have to have a guy who knows his role on the team. Mm-hmm. You know, Amari Stoudemire is not going to come in here and want to play second fiddle to Kevin Durant. Neither is a Chris Bosh. So the fact that they got Cole Aldridge... I think that was their free agent move. I mean, they went out and got a guy who fits financially above all. He fits on the court in terms of, you know, his defensive attitude, his defensive mentality, rebounding, blocking shots, and he knows his role. You know, mm-hmm. he's not going to command touches, and that's the best thing that this team needs right now.
And he also seems to have that hardworking, blue-collar attitude that really fits in well with this team and this community, really.
Yeah, I think... What was it, Barry? Barry Trammell or John Rohde wrote about it in terms of, that Thunder DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Cole Aldridge seems to have that Thunder DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I mean, this draft to me is going to depend heavily on whether Cole Aldridge makes it or not. We can sit here on June 29th and say, you know, it was a great move. But if Cole Aldridge flames out, this could be a terrible draft. I mean, you give up three draft picks and you come away with Cole Aldridge, mm-hmm. you know, and a future Clippers first rounder. So, I mean, that's the other way of looking at it. I think this draft is going to heavily depend on whether Cole Aldridge is a player.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that Clippers first round pick might wind up being it'll probably wind up being a lottery pick. So that, I mean, that's good. That's for next year, right?
It depends on how the Clippers do. I'm hearing that it's top 10 or top 12 protected. So if it's 13 or 14, maybe they get it. It's definitely, at worst, lottery protected. So if it's 15, they'll get it. If the Clippers make the playoffs, the Thunder will get the pick. If they don't, chances are it's going to go remain with the Clippers. So
I see.
You know, it's easy to say that that's going to be a good pick for the Thunder. But the Clippers are loading up with talent right now. I mean, mm-hmm. Baron Davis, they got Eric Bledsoe from the Thunder. They had the Thunder draft Eric Bledsoe for him. Blake Griffin's going to be healthy. Chris Kaman. Willie Warren. The other guard, Eric Gordon. I mean, they've got some talent on that team. So I wouldn't say that it's a guarantee that the Clippers are going to miss the playoffs again or have a 13th, 14th pick. So we'll see. That's going to be just like we were watching with the Phoenix pick in 2010. Now we're going to be watching with the Clippers pick. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, you want to move now more into overall NBA free agency. Where do you see LeBron landing? Where does Darnell Mayberry see LeBron James landing next year?
You know what? It kills me to say this. Because forever I thought this was a bunch of do about nothing, and I thought he was going to stay in Cleveland. But I don't see any way he can stay in Cleveland at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a bunch of old guys in Shaq and Big Z and Jameson, Jamario Moon. I mean, Mo Williams got exposed in the playoffs. I mean, when you look around that team, why would he go back there? Mm-hmm. I think he's going to go to Chicago.
I do too.
I think he's going to go to Chicago.
Yes, I think it's perfect. And they got rid of Kirk Heinrich to make some more room for him. I think that's a perfect fit.
And people keep talking about, okay, they can get two top-tier free agents. They don't need two top-tier free agents. They've got the core there now with mm-hmm. Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, mm-hmm. even Taj Gibson, who the Bulls used the pick that the Thunder gave them for Tabo Sefolosha. They used it on Taj Gibson. They've got some young talent. James Johnson, they've got some good young talent that they could surround LeBron around. I mean, they don't have to go out and get LeBron and Joe Johnson or LeBron and Chris Bosh. They could be a 50-win team with just LeBron on that team.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's anything to this notion that LeBron isn't going to want to go play in Chicago and be under the shadow of Michael Jordan playing the same place? You don't think that's anything?
No, you look at all the great players right now in the league. I mean, with the exception of Dwayne Wade, I'd say, most of the great players in the league, I should say, Dwayne Wade doesn't come from a historic franchise. I mean, Alonzo Mourning was there, but, you know, he didn't win any championships in his early days with the Heat. So that's not a shadow that Dwayne Wade had to play in. But you look at Kobe Bryant, you know, playing in the shadows of Magic Johnson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Jerry mm-hmm. West, Elgin Baylor. So these guys all played, you know, you look at Paul Pierce with that storied Celtics franchise. Most of these guys are in franchises that had great players beforehand. So mm-hmm. just because LeBron would be joining the franchise that Michael Jordan built, you know, I don't really see that as an issue. Mm-hmm. Although it would be interesting to see LeBron walk past that statue every day.
Yeah, yeah. I've been saying, and people are calling me crazy, but I think the best fit maybe for LeBron would be New Jersey. And here's why. Devin Harris, Courtney Lee, Brooke Lopez, Avery Johnson's a good coach. They got that rich Russian owner. He's friends with Jay-Z. They're going to move to Brooklyn. It all makes sense to me. I don't think he'll do it, but that makes perfect sense to me. Am I crazy?
No, they got some good young talent, the Nets. I mean, they've got good young talent, but they don't have a Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I love Brooke Lopez. And, you know, if you compare him to Joakim Noah, I think it's basically a wash. I think, you know, Lopez might be a better shot blocker, but Noah is a better defender.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, I can see your point. I just think the Nets are just – I don't know if they have a direction. I don't know if they have any direction right now. I think they're just, you know, amassing talent. And, you know, they got a great coach in Avery Johnson. Sam Mitchell's going to join their staff, so they're going to have a great coaching staff. They've got mm-hmm. this rich owner, like you said,
yeah.
supposedly moving to Brooklyn soon here. We've been hearing that for a while. So, I don't know. We'll see. I just still think Chicago's the better fit because they seem – to have that, you know, I don't want to say they have a lot more direction than New Jersey, but at least, you know, you can see the pieces and how they fit.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in New Jersey, you just got basically a bunch of talent that's out there playing together and trying to get their own numbers.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting theory. I like it.
I don't know. Fair enough. What about some of these other guys? I think Dwayne Wade's going to stay in Miami. What do you think?
Yeah, why would you leave?
Yeah.
You're on South Beach. They've got space for you now to go out and get some talent. They've got the cap room. Sounds like they're going to try to keep Michael Beasley. So if you have Dwayne Wade, Michael Beasley, and you add a Chris Bosh, who I think is going to go to Miami, or even a Carlos Boozer and Amari Stoudemire, one of those three guys,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're right back in the thick of things with a threesome like that. That's a nice three-headed monster if you could play Beasley at the three. So I think Dwayne Wade will stay.
All right, well, I guess that this about wraps it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening to the Thunder Rumblings podcast. Be sure to Read all of our coverage in the Oklahoman and on newsok.com. Thank you.
From the Opubco studios at Britton and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.